Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun. Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's Friday, February 14th, 2020, which means, of course, it's Valentine's Day. Lots of people said, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day since you're doing a show and it's going to be live and it's going to be on that day with all the hearts and the balloons and the candy and the roses? And I thought, well, I want to do something that I think can universally appeal to people and is yet still a topic that can be misunderstood and isn't talked about enough openly. So we're going to talk all about bisexuality today. I hope, however, you are celebrating or not celebrating Valentine's Day, you are well. We're also live, so if you want to call me to wish me a happy Valentine's Day, if you want to chime in with your story about being bi, experiencing biphobia, what it's like to see bi representations in the media, anything you want, you can call 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you who I've got today. Seth Fisher's essays have twice been listed notable in the Best American Essays, and his writing has appeared in publications including BuzzFeed, Best Sex Writing, Guernica, and The Rumpus. He is a writer and editor and a board member of the bisexual advocacy nonprofit Binet USA, with whom he attended President Obama's 2016 bisexual community meeting. He is also a Lambda Literary Fellow. When not writing or being an activist, he is a developmental editor of fiction and nonfiction, and he was the founding Sunday editor of the literary website The Rumpus. He's currently the nonfiction editor at The Nervous Breakdown. He has his MA in political science from Syracuse University and an MFA from Antioch University, Los Angeles. And he's going to be starting his PhD program in creative writing and literature at USC in the fall. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Seth.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. The day when, I guess, you know, bisexuals have the most Valentine options. That's a joke. Okay, so let's begin at the beginning for people who may not know you. How did you sort of come to be where you are? And specifically, how did you come to identify as bi?
Right. Well, it was kind of an accident. I had been bi my whole life. I had known I'm bi my whole life. And I, you know, kind of tried to come out like so many bi people over and over and over again. And people just kind of weren't listening. And so I kept going and I eventually tried to be gay. That didn't quite work. And I wrote this essay I guess it was almost 10 years ago now, called Notes from a Unicorn, about being bi. And it just, it got a big response, which was really great. And from that point on, people have kind of asked me about being bi, which is kind of weird because I only know my own story. I can't be a spokesperson or anything for bi people as a whole. But that's kind of when people started saying, oh, you are bi. I get it. I understand. Before that, it was just confusion for the most part from the people in my life, unfortunately.
Well, but I don't think that's uncommon. Why do you think people are still confused about being bi and what bisexuality is?
Oh, there is so much confusion over being bi. I think in large part because of the narratives around bisexuality that exist in our media. And it's changing now, thankfully, in some places. And it's not just in the media, it's in our families, it's in our schools, it's everywhere. And there's just a general sense that, you know, at least for me, what I experienced was that people did not think bisexuality existed. So they would say, oh, he'll figure out he's gay eventually, or, oh, he's straight and just going through a phase. I heard that so many times, I lost count. But that is something that a lot of bi people hear. It was even written in, I think, 2005 in the New York Times. There was an article that bi men didn't exist.
I remember that. It was so fucked up. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, they retracted it later. But yeah, it was horrible.
Well, this is another piece of the puzzle, too, about gender. I've always said this, that I feel like people who are assigned female at birth and identify as women often have the leeway to sexually experiment and just be affectionate with other women in public. And so it's like if you were in college and a woman, you know, you saw a woman in the dining hall and she was like, oh my God, last night I got a little drunk and I hooked up with my girlfriend and oh my gosh, that was a wild experience. They would all be like, oh great, sure. But if a guy said that same exact narrative and said, I hooked up with a buddy of mine, you know, we had like some pizza and some beer and one thing led to another, people would be like, you're gay. So there also seems to be a double standard when it comes to women identified people and male identified people. Yes?
Yes, that's definitely true. I think, unfortunately for bi women, what ends up happening is the sexuality becomes sexualized by straight men often.
Right.
And so it's a whole other mess. But yeah, I think there is that difference for many people between cis bi men and cis bi women. And there's a whole bunch of other stories for trans and gender fluid and genderqueer bi people as well.
You know, I used to do this event on the East Coast. It was like a retreat event that combined a bunch of different communities, swingers, polyamorous people, queer people, straight people, like sacred sexuality people. And you used to be able to go and sort of create a profile in a locked area before you went to the event. So people could kind of see like who was going to be there and what they might be into. And the first year, I would say the majority of people under sexual orientation identified as straight. We worked really hard, my ex and I, to like really recruit the queers. But the first year, most people identified as straight. And then the second year, we began to notice that some of the cis guys would begin saying that they were straight, but not narrow, you know?
Yes.
This was before like heteroflexible even existed as a word. And then all of a sudden, like more and more people identified as bi-curious, and this is particularly cis men. And then I feel like 10 years in, all the men were bisexual. I swear to God. Not that they had just become bisexual, but they were willing to identify themselves publicly within this closed community as bisexual. And I sort of watched it happen and I thought, oh my God, like we have become a magnet for bi guys. Why is that? And what is that? And what does it say that there are not more spaces? You know, I felt like some of these guys were kinky and they felt like they couldn't be bi in the kink community. They had to be sort of like a straight male dom. Some of these guys were swingers, and in mainstream swinging, there's not an unwritten rule. There's actually written rules, which is that men cannot express desire or flirt with or have sex with other men. So if they're swingers and they're bi, they have to be closeted in their swing community. So it felt like all of these folks who are already in some pretty, you know, fringe or radical or non-normative communities, we're still facing discrimination. We're still facing not being able to be their full selves, even in those communities.
Yes. I mean, I have experienced that in, not in the swinger community personally, but I've experienced that in the lesbian and gay community, in the LGBT community, in the advocacy community quite a lot. And that's something that a lot of bi people say as well, is that you have, you know, you come out and you're looking for your community. And for the longest time, there weren't that many bi communities, at least outside of the major cities. And so you would go to the lesbian and gay community, and instead of throwing you a party, they would say, "Are you sure?" Mm. and then they would pressure people to identify as lesbian and gay. And one of the most interesting things I learned being a bi advocate is that there are more bi people than there are lesbian and gay people, in the U.S. at least. And that seems to be true in the U.K. as well, and other places where they've been able to do censuses. And so we're sort of this very large community that could be doing so much within the LGBT and kink and queer communities if we were just a little bit more welcome sometimes.
Yeah, but it makes sense to me, because if everything is on a spectrum, you know, the fewest amount of people sit on the very end, the polar ends of that spectrum. Most people are in the middle somewhere. So I'm here to say, I think everyone can be bisexual. They just sometimes they aren't. But I think we all like have the opportunity to have some sort of level of fluidity of our sexuality. And I think people just sort of, we are fond of binaries. We know this. Mm-hmm. We, as like a white supremacist, you know, puritanical culture, we like the binaries. We like the boxes. And so people eventually sort of go quote one way or quote the other, when actually there's like a whole range of options in the middle.
There are, yes. And, you know, one of the things I've found as a bi man, there's not a whole lot of out bi men, but in the community, there's more and more now. But what I found is that gay men, lesbians, and straight people all come up to me and want to tell me about their experiences that don't coincide with their identity. Mm. It's hundreds of them.
So you become the sort of container for everyone's bisexual desires, fantasies, and experiences.
Unfortunately, that has happened.
Yes. But not with consent, no, which is not fair. Unless you're like, "I'm the bisexual whisperer, please come tell me your tales."
I have never done that. No.
Not fair for people to do that. Okay. We're going to take our first commercial break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. Special shout out to my big sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, who I love with all my heart. And of course, if you live in a city where there's a pleasure chest, you still have time to actually get a Valentine's Day gift for yourself, your lover, your lovers. So I just want to remind you guys of that. And we're going to keep talking about this subject, but let's take a break and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking For It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples' toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. You know, most of us have incredibly busy lives. There's work, school, kids, parents, loved ones, commitments, appointments. Sometimes it shows up in my brain as one giant Google Calendar just scrolling through the days.
it's difficult to just pause. When you open the Calm app for the first time, it says, take a deep breath. It sounds so simple, and it really does make a difference. But where do you start? With Calm, all it takes is 5 minutes a day to feel better, calmer, and ready to face whatever life throws at you. It's got guided meditations, breathing and movement exercises, soothing music, and curated playlists. You can even have Nick Offerman tell you a bedtime story. There's other great voices too, but I love me some Nick Offerman. Join over 60 million people who use Calm to center and de-stress. Calm is offering a special limited time promotion for Sex Out Loud listeners of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Tristan. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, hundreds of hours of programming, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Tristan. That's calm.com/TRISTAN. Relax, de-stress, and find your peace with Calm.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's Valentine's Day, and so let's celebrate bisexual people. Why don't we? My guest today is writer, editor, and bisexual activist Seth Fisher. So before the break, we were talking about some of your experiences and also the kind of pushback that bi people get from straight-identified people and from queer-identified people. Like, each person, I mean, I feel like they sort of want you to pick a side, and if you won't, that upsets them greatly. I read your piece from 2012, Notes from a Unicorn, and, you know, there was like biphobia and this lack of validation. Here we are 8 years later. And do you think things have changed?
Yes. I think that things have changed a lot from then. And it's kind of a, you know, it's a really depressing time to be in the world for a lot of reasons. And things are not wonderful for bi people. but I think it's a hopeful time for bi people. You know, as you said in the intro, President Obama was kind enough to repeatedly invite bi people to the White House to talk about bi health issues, to talk about specific policy issues that affect bi people. And that just gave our community so much energy. We already had it, but it gave us a way to focus it. And I think since then, there's been a lot of celebrities coming out as bi plus, bi or pan or fluid, or any of bi plus is sort of an umbrella term for any non-monosexual, sexualities. And non-monosexual means not straight or gay, basically.
So what was it like to go to the White House? Like, I know what I would think like a big bisexual meeting would be like, but I don't think that was it. Was it catered? Did you talk a lot? What happened? I need the inside scoop.
I wish I had gotten to meet President Obama. I did not personally get to meet him, but Faith Cheltenham, who's the president of Binet USA, she was instrumental in putting that together, and she got to spend a lot of time with him. And he was really listening, and it was wonderful. When I went, it was part of a community meeting, and we live cast it, and it was right before the 2016 election. The way that he gave us a public forum from the White House that he live streamed right before the 2016 election was just so powerful for us. Because people have thought of us as toxic forever, in many ways. And him, you know, validating us that way was a really powerful thing. I wish the election had ended up differently, but I don't think that we can say that we had much to do with that.
Right. So you're active with BiNet USA, which is this advocacy organization. What does bisexual organizing and activism look like? I'm imagining people are out there going, okay, but how does being bisexual affect policy, affect rights, affect legislation? Take me through that.
So there, you know, so I could sit here and talk for hours about that. But what I'll say is that when you look at health outcomes in particular, what you'll see is that bi people have mental health issues that are worse than gays and lesbians, as well as straight people. They have physical health issues, smoking, drinking, all of these issues. And the researchers like Lauren Beach is an example of a researcher who's doing some really interesting work right now. They're looking at why that is. And they think it has to do with stigma. And stigma, it turns out, is really not just unhealthy psychologically for you, but it's unhealthy physically for you. And so because there aren't communities, or there weren't until recently communities to go to, people were just sitting alone in their stigma. And so trying to find ways to address that issue, to get people the healthcare they need. Another thing that is really important is that a huge percentage 40%, I think, of lesbian or LGB people are people of color. And we also have much higher poverty rates. So there's a whole lot of intersectionality going on. And a lot of biphobia, I think, is also related to racism and classism and sexism, as most bi people are also women.
Yeah, I mean, so I think you made that really good point, which I want to reiterate, which is that stigma and shame, and I've absolutely seen this in sex education, stigma and shame are a predictor of health outcomes, of physical health outcomes. And the more someone faces stigma or shame, the more struggles they face in mental and physical health. So it's really important. It's like someone's not just like sad about being made fun of by their friend. It actually affects how long they live, and other kinds of addictive behaviors, stuff like that. So that's a really, really important point. And it is intersectional, of course, as everything is. But why do you think, so my question is, do you think we're going to shift like all the way? One thing that seems clear to me is when I talk to anyone who's under 20, they're super low key about gender and sexuality. They're really fluid. They're like ISU labels. Like, I don't call myself anything. I'm just me, you know, that whole speech. And so do you think this is going to be a good thing for bisexual organizing and activism, or a bad thing?
Well, I think this is why, you know, a big part of the reason why we've taken on this phrase bi plus, because, you know, personally, I call myself bisexual for a lot of reasons. You know, I could also call myself pan. I could also call myself queer. I look at it as a way to reach people. And right now, I would say that, yes, in urban areas, we see this sort of low-key, not caring about things. But when I go into the suburbs, when I go into rural areas, people are still having a lot of issues with this. So I don't think it's going to go away in that sense. I think that is really just something that I see a lot here in LA. But if I travel to Colorado, I'm not seeing it quite as much.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense. And I'm just wondering if like these identity categories our investment in them is going to change as this sort of new generation comes up, or if they're going to face the sort of same challenges and the same stigma.
Well, I hope that they don't. Yeah. But, you know, I think that I mean, I think I call myself bi because of the history. You know, there's a million reasons I call myself bi, but the biggest reason is I want to honor the history of bi people. You know, Brenda Howard, who kind of founded Pride, was bisexual. Marsha Johnson, Sylvia Rivera were, you know, bi plus. Cliff Arneson, who was sort of the first person to go in front of the Senate committees and talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he was bi. A. Billy Jones. There's so many people in LGBT history who were bi, and I want to honor that. I really do. I also call myself bi because I hate binaries. It's like if I have a life mission, it's to get rid of binaries. But that in itself is a binary. So I call myself bi to kind of keep myself honest.
Okay. But quickly, I think I've heard some people say, and I've said before in the past, my thinking has changed, that like I don't identify as bisexual because bisexual means two or both genders. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more than two genders. What do you say to that?
So the bi community was one of the first to advocate for a different definition of bisexuality, like back in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, the way I define bisexuality is being attracted to more than one gender. And I know that that's the way some people define pansexuality and everything. And I'm not here to be a spokesperson or to tell anyone how to define themselves. But I think it's a really great time right now because you can go out and you can do the research and you can choose which label best fits you. And that's what I think is one of the most powerful things that I've ever done. And I hope that some people out there will do it as well.
We're going to take another break. We've had a new sponsor come on, which is Uberlube. Thank you so much, Uberlube, for coming around. Uberlube's given me tremendous support. They just sent me a big box of amazing goodies, so I'm working my way through it. Look on my Instagram stories for what I got in that box. Let's take a break, and we will be back with Seth Fisher in a moment. Hi, everyone. Tristan here. Hey, lube makes everything better. Duh. And I mean everything. Vaginal and anal penetration, hand jobs, hand sex, masturbation, fingering, grinding, oral sex. You name it, lube will improve it. When you're choosing a lube, you want one with high quality ingredients. Uberlube is silicone with a little vitamin E. That's it. No parabens, no petrochemicals, no strange things you can't pronounce. I have a very sensitive pussy, and that is not a metaphor. It's easily irritated, and plenty of lubes I've tried just do not agree with me. I like Uberlube because it's scent-free, flavorless, simple ingredients, and long-lasting. Plus, it's got a pump, which is easy to use and hygienic because you're not always touching the top of it. Oh, and it will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be cleaned up with detergent and water. Right now, Uberlube is offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code Tristan at Uberlube, Uberlube.com. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, remember, you can call me to wish me a happy Valentine's Day or say what's on your mind. Be appropriate. You can call me at 323 SEX8266, 323-SEX8266. I'm talking today with Seth Fisher, who's a writer and editor, a board member of the bisexual advocacy nonprofit BiNet. He's had several stories in Best American Essays. Just Google him or go to his website, because he really is a gifted writer. And that unicorn story to me holds up. Your story about being bisexual kind of holds up even with time.
Oh, thank you.
It absolutely does. And one of your essays is called "I'm a Bisexual Man. Why is that so hard for me to say?" And I really got the sense with some of your writing that you felt sort of pulled or compelled by either straight people or queer people to just be that.
Yes, explicitly a lot. And also, you know, it was hard for me because I was, you know, the mid-2000s were a rough time for bi people. And, you know, I tried to be gay. And in that essay, I'm going
to spoil. That's a very cute thing, by the way, a phrase, I tried to be gay. It could be like the next title of some funny essay. I tried to be gay. Like I really gave it my best.
And in that essay, if you read it, you'll see, I was like having really hot sex with my boyfriend at the time. I was tied to the bed, but I couldn't finish. And the only thing that made me, finally come was I thought about Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I was like, oh, I can't be gay. That was.
In other words, that actually would have been a double down on the like queerness. Like it would be like, okay, but look at who you're picking. Okay.
True. That's very true.
I mean, it's not like you were like Pamela Anderson. You went for an atypical, you know, gender there. Go ahead.
I did. Well, we were talking over the break too. I wanted to ask you, I know that you get called bi all the time, but how do you identify?
So I identify as queer. But for me, I came of age and came out in the early 90s, 1991. Shout out, people. I'm going to be 49 this year. And I came out at the height of Queer Nation and ACT UP, and queer became sort of like the entire lens through which I see my whole life. And I feel so attached to that identity, to the politics of being queer, to the community, to the culture. So, but I did come out, I did say I was bisexual once. And that was when I came out to my mother. It was over Thanksgiving break, classic story. I had a girlfriend at the time, and I had been on the phone a lot. This is before cell phones, kids, so you had to use the landline. And she was like, "Why are you on the phone all the time? Who are you talking to on the phone?" And I was like, "I'm on the phone with my girlfriend, and I'm bisexual." And then I stormed out of the room. And at the time, up until that point, I had had sex and relationships with people of multiple genders. And so in some ways I feel like I feel like for me, bi can fit under the queer name, but people call me bisexual. I don't know if Wikipedia says I'm bisexual, but whatevs. I do like hook up with, have sex with, like, love, desire, partner with people of multiple genders. So some people could call me bisexual, and I would just be like, okay. I mean, I'm not, it's like, I want to honor everyone's right to self-identify. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's something so powerful in the right to self-identify. I mean, part of the reason I don't call myself queer has nothing to do with sort of these logical arguments that I hear a lot of people online saying, you should call yourself bi because of this reason, or you should call yourself queer because of this reason. And like, I don't know if these people have studied rhetoric, but that's not a good way to win people over, to tell people what to
win
think.
Friends.
But you know, so I, you know, I'm someone who, you know, this word fits me. I also use the word queer sometimes. I also, you know, I haven't used the word pan, but I don't see why I couldn't. I just have found that word communicates how I feel inside. And I think that's really the only answer you ever need to give anyone.
Right. I mean, when I went to this swingers event, which I've gone to several years in a row, you could put these beads on your necklace that denoted like who you were, what you're into, blah, 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 what you're curious about. And there was like a whole color code, and they didn't have a bead for queer. And so in that case, I wore the bisexual bead because it was like closest to telling people like, this is what I'm down for. Right. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's like, it's tricky as well as gender sort of expands and the language of gender expands because it's always been expansive, but the language expands. It's also just tricky to hook up with people who have very fluid genders and then sort of be able to fix your identity based on them when they don't have a fixed gender identity.
Right. And, you know, this is probably the most sensitive issue within the bi community and the pan community, the whole bi plus community right now. You know, I would just say that the definition of bi does not have to be men and women, right? That isn't the definition and has not been for 30 or 40 years. It usually means more than one gender or my gender and other genders. Maybe the dictionary hasn't gotten brought up to speed, but I think most people within the community are using a definition like that. And again, I do it to honor the history, many of whom are trans people, from the past and genderqueer people who identified as bi. So, you know, I honor everybody's right to identify however they want. You know, if people prefer pan, there are lots of kids who prefer pan right now, and I'm all for that. Bring us under that umbrella, but we just all need to stick together so that we can fight for the things that we all have in common instead of fighting between each other.
As absolutely. And especially now, this is also a lesson for Democrats, everyone. We're going to all vote for who we want to vote for in the primaries, but then we're going to get our shit together and get behind the Democratic candidate. We're not going to stay home. We're going to fucking vote. Okay. So that's end of rant, but it's a similar situation to what Seth is saying. I'm just saying at some point the infighting has to, we have to settle it down and just beat the actual enemy. Who's not another Democrat. It's that fuckface in the White House. Okay, so switching gears a little, the other thing I thought about in terms of representation of bi people is, like, I just read on Page Six today that Amber Heard, there was just a thing about, Amber Heard has a girlfriend and they're in love. And I was like, wait, Amber Heard is bisexual? I don't know if I knew that. But more and more, I think there are visible bisexual people, or there are people who are identifying as bisexual, even though they may be married to someone of a different gender. Who do you have like a favorite bi character that you're like, that's the character done right? Because I feel like, you know, a lot of bisexual people are murderers. And by that, I mean, people with fluid sexualities often are like on, you know, SVU and these like Criminal Minds and these shows, which are all about like crimes and criminality and danger. And so bisexuals pop up on those kinds of shows all the time.
A House of Cards is a really famous example of that.
Oh, my God. The darkness.
I really like I'm totally blanking on the name of it. It's that new show on ABC that was from a comic novel.
Not Stumptown.
Stumptown.
Oh my God, that was gonna be my answer, Seth.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh my god, Seth. Because listen, I can't believe it. We're of one mind right now. Okay, so let me go on my rant and then I'll let you talk about it.
Okay.
So Stumptown is an ABC. It's a primetime, series. And by now, folks, you got to do a lot to catch my eye on the old primetime network television. Because the truth is, all the great stuff is happening not on those channels. But I do have this pleasure. It's called Stumptown. it's about a private eye who lives and works in Portland, Oregon, and the cast of characters around her. And essentially, she is bisexual. It's not a plot point. She has, over the course of a season, dated and had sex with people of multiple genders. You know, recently, and I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but recently she just sort of had this chemistry with this character, this new character who came around. And I could tell immediately, I was like, oh, wait, because there had been a backstory about her having a relationship with a woman, but now it seemed like she was into men. And then this person kind of came into her world, and you could tell immediately, because the actress is really good, that like the chemistry was there and that she was like, oh, yeah. And I thought, that's what I want to see, because it's like nuanced. And also, it's not the plot. The plot of that story, she does hook up with that woman, but that's not the plot.
Exactly.
That's not the point of it.
Oh my God. I love that show. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know anyone else who watches it, Seth Fisher. I thought I was like ready to like tell people about this secret show where the lead character is not only a woman, but she's bisexual, and it's like well done.
Right. I mean, I have never watched an ABC show, I don't think, since like 1996 or something.
How to Get Away with Murder. How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay. No. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is remarkably well done. And it's so hard to find well done stories about bi characters in the mainstream publishing or mm-hmm. Or television or film worlds. It's like trying to find, I don't know, a needle in a haystack, to use a cliche. But yeah, it's
right.
It's hard to find. Yeah.
Well, also, I think what I like about it is her name is Colby something. Raymond, will you look that up? The star of Stumptown, Colby something. The actress is also very believable, because I think there's another piece of this, which happens in the swinger community. And that is this sort of mandatory performative bisexuality for cis women. But we got to take a break. Josh says we're out of time. Why are you getting into a new subject? I'm reading it word for word here. So during the break, we're going to think about that, performative bisexuality among cis women. And Raymond's going to look up who the star of Stumptown is. And I'm going to have a sip of this water. So stay with us.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking for It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there. Hey everyone, as Instagram deletes porn star accounts, YouTube and Facebook censor content, dating apps are full of bots. We've talked about all this on the show, and it's becoming more and more difficult for people to connect, especially intimately, online. MyGirlFund.com allows members to form virtual relationships with sexy, amazing women. On MyGirlFund.com, you can meet, message, share photos and videos, and cam with women in private. If you know me, you know that two of my passions are people experiencing pleasure in diverse and shame-free ways and folks getting paid fairly for their labor. It's very difficult for women to get paid for virtual adult work without risking personal exposure. Many women are willing to do dirty chat and or share nude content for money, but safe and discreet platforms are rare. My Girl Fund allows its female members to control their exposure. They connect with who they want to connect with, control how they want to interact, and decide what they want to charge for these interactions. My Girl Fund has been around since 2009, providing space for people to have intimate interactions that they want. Sign up now at mygirlfund.com and get ready to meet and make connections with women in a safe, private, adult community.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we've got a great guest next week. It's LGBTQ plus activist and advocate Candace Cox. So that's going to be a fun one. And we just, in general, Raymond's killing it right now and has booked some amazing people. So like in the coming weeks, we're going to have some great guests. And you can always check it out on my social media. Once, you know, these shows go up, I'm going to promote it on my social media feed and you can see it in my stories and all the blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we're talking to Seth Fisher. And before the break, I said, so I think this is especially true in swinger communities where there's this so just as like men are not allowed to express desire for other men, it's expected that all women are quote bi, like they just can be, just put some effort into it. Right. And so often women hook up with other women as a sort of performative thing for their male partners. And I feel like that, you know, we've seen that, repeated in porn. These days, there's really good mainstream lesbian porn, which is directed by lesbians, which feature sex workers who are in fact queer and bisexual. So, but still there is that sort of performative girl on girl action. I call it girl on girl, not lesbian. And I think that we sometimes see that, you know, like these two conventionally attractive, high femme girls sort of like kiss gently, but otherwise do nothing else. But then on the break, we talked about it. And one thing you brought up was that there aren't that many bi male characters in pop culture. Who comes to mind when I say, like, who is there besides Frank Underwood, which is like, you know, God.
Yeah, that's not what we want.
It's dark, people. It's dark. Okay.
My favorite, he doesn't identify as bi. He calls himself Pan in the show. Captain Jack Harkness, played by John Barrowman in Torchwood. You know, it's an older show. It's not perfect. There are some problems with it. But, oh, my God, did I have a crush on him when I watched that. You know, he was a fully fledged alien from the future. I can't think of what else I want.
besides the future, we also want a future.
Yeah, we do want that. But yeah, I think that's an issue. And I think the issue of, you know, performativity in for bi women is a big issue. And I think it's something that I hope we are starting to think differently about, at least in some communities. I don't know what the swinger community is like, but I feel like in the bi
community. Hashtag not all swingers, so right. Don't get up my grill, people. Go ahead.
But, you know, in the bi community, there will be, you know, definitely there are rules. And if somebody starts creeping on a bi woman in that way, they are gone from those bi spaces pretty quickly. And so I think we just need a little bit more of that in all of the spaces that are out there. The other thing I wanted to say about performativity is one thing I neglected to mention is bi sex workers. There are, so many bi sex workers that I know. There hasn't been any research done that I know of, although somebody can correct me online if I'm wrong. But what I do know is, you know, there's Antonia Crane, who's a bi sex worker who's mm-hmm. starting a strippers union out here. There's Juba Kalamka, who is part of the Binet board, and he's doing a lot of sex worker advocacy up in the Bay Area. And so there's a lot of sort of, you know, overlay between those two groups. And I wonder if that has something to do with this performativity aspect, unfortunately, or fortunately.
I mean, I know a lot of sex workers, and I would say the majority of the cis women identify as bi. I think, especially in porn, if you're a cis guy, you don't identify as bi, or if you do, you're considered a, quote, crossover performer, and then there's all this homophobia, and you get mm-hmm. sort of pushed out of this, quote, straight industry, because you also do have sex with men on camera. So, like, biphobia is rearing its ugly head and playing itself out in a really, like, explicit way in the adult industry. Certainly not in, like, queer porn or feminist porn, but I'm talking about in mainstream porn. People are literally told to pick a side and stay in their lane. Whereas women, again, I think are expected to be able to do everyone. I mean, my experience with sex workers is that they're all a little bisexual, right? I mean, who've been in it for a while, they've had a lot of experiences. They've slept with a lot of different kinds of people. They've had a lot of different kinds of sex. Mm-hmm. So I think that their notions about sex and desire and pleasure are quite expansive in a way that maybe other people who haven't had access to all of that action are.
I think that's really well put. Yeah.
I mean, and then of course there are performative bisexuals, and mm-hmm. honeys, I just say, like, cash that check. Like, I'm fine with any sex worker performing anything, because it is part of their job. So
it's non-consensual, you know, performativity. That is.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Right. In what is supposed to be a sex positive space or an alternative sexual space. Right. If people are doing it for money, I encourage you to just, yeah. Yeah. Just check your Venmo, just transfer that balance. Yeah. Okay. We're running out of time. I do want to point people to this amazing essay, which, is slightly off topic, but it's called, Don't Stop Now. It was on cogzine.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and right. It's about your father, having Alzheimer's disease. It's just so wrenching and amazing and really raw and honest. And, I want people to try to go seek that out, because, it's just a beautiful piece of writing.
Thank you.
And for any of us whose parents are aging, well, all our parents are aging, but getting to a certain age, we have to think about these pretty intense things. Alzheimer's or no Alzheimer's, just aging. So I want to point people there. Also, you can find Seth at his website, which is Seth-Fisher, and Fisher is spelled FISCHER.com. He is at Seth Fisher on Twitter and Instagram. He's Seth, author and editor, on Facebook. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And happy Bisexual Day to everyone. Oh, I mean Valentine's Day. Whatever.
Happy Bisexual Valentine's Day.
Yes, exactly. What are you doing for Bisexual Valentine's Day? You going somewhere special?
I am going to Carlsbad down by San Diego to go to the beach.
Lovely.
Are you doing it?
I'm going to sit on my couch and watch an episode of Sex Education. But I do want to thank you. I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set. Andrew's my usual engineer, but Josh is giving up part of his Valentine's Day to engineer this show. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, catch me on social media at Tristan Taramino. The show's on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.